fighting for America.
Dangerous people with guns are a threat to women. Change our laws. Please join your voice with mine.
Fighting for Idaho.
It is my strong belief, however, that a principal should not be granted the power and responsibility of affecting teacher pay and the level of license they hold.
Fighting for you.
One of the questions I often get is, do we have our own jets to fly us around the country? And the
yes.
answer is no.
Rainbow One, yes. I saw it the right. other day.
You know, Nancy Pelosi did get a jet. Yes. That was true.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning. Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, good morning. Kevin Miller with you here. And, you know, we have a responsibility each and every day. And we're all human. We're all sitting there wondering, you know, how our day is going to start. And I can remember, like, our friend John that works at the, is it the Meridian Town Center or is it the Village at Meridian? You know, the big complex there on Eagle Road. He works security. He says, Kevin, I listen to your show. When you come on, I'm halfway through. I'm on my way home. I know I'm ready to go. So I'm always happy when you're rolling. And I can remember, John, many, many years ago, when Kevin Miller was a young Kevin Miller, working those jobs, and, you know, it gets lonely. It gets lonely at night. Heck, it gets lonely driving on the roads right now. You're thinking to yourself, hey, I mean, is anybody excited to start the week? And I was thinking, and I almost said this to Ray Amaya. I said, Ray, we need the happy song, but usually the happy song is there's something to be happy about. Well, there are some troubling stories going on, and who wants to wake up to troubling? It's like Gene Lockhart with the Boise Rescue Mission always says, Kevin, I love your show, but 10 minutes in, I get scared about the Chinese taking over and the economy crumbling and everything else. I get you, Gene. And I thought that we should bear some type of responsibility today to inspire you. And yes, we are going to cover what happened early Friday morning, where you had a student in Washington go crazy and shoot people, and unfortunately another little girl died, 14 years old. You don't have to be a parent or a grandparent to understand just how precious life is. And we pride ourselves on controlling things, do we not? We pride ourselves on the ability to control our own environment. Maybe that's why most of us don't like going to the doctor. I'm speaking for myself here. Most of us don't like getting on airplanes. Most of us don't like going to the boss's office because we're out of control. We don't have control. It's always great to be the decider, like George W. Bush. It's not so good to be the pawn. And the events of the world that we live in today, I mean, it's crazy. But we're here, and our mission is to provide you with something to make you laugh, to make you think, to provoke. So let's get to it. By the way, phone number is 580-5436. And if you are one of these people on Twitter, I invite you to join me. I've got a whopping 23 followers now. That's at Kevin Miller Show, not to be confused with the 2,500 other Kevin Miller this, Kevin Miller that. It's Kevin Miller Show on Twitter. Or you can always follow the station at 580KIDO as well. But this situation in Washington State, and you're going to say, well, Kevin, is it going to be, is it time to arm teachers argument? Is it time to disarm America argument? And I hope that the administration, and I hope that other people understand that this is a mental health issue. One of the few things that Sheriff Rainey and Chief Masterson before he retires and Sheriff Donahue and I agree on is there is a huge mental health issue in this country. I have a friend of mine, and I don't know if she listens to me anymore, but I do keep her and her family in my nightly prayers. She used to give me nothing but grief in Pittsburgh, and she's worried about my health. She says, Kevin, having a physique of a bell pepper is no way to live. And she's right. She's right. And I never took her criticism in a bad way because I knew her intent. Remarkable. Beautiful woman inside and out. In fact, I miss her correspondence. She used to email me all the time. And it always amazed me that I've been here 5.5 years and I would still have this young lady giving me updates all the time, and it's been a while since I've heard from her. And one day on the show, I was talking, whether it was here or somewhere else, we were talking about the mental health issue, and I said, you know, people are whack, they're this, they're that, you write people off if they're threats. And she said, well, Kevin, I have issues with this in my life. And you would have someone who seems perfectly okay, that whether it's their medication or something else, they snap. Now, I don't know what happened to this teenager in Washington, but he has robbed us of some beautiful kids. And is there a foolproof measure? Okay, you go to the East Coast, you go to the big cities on the East Coast, sometimes not even in the big cities. I remember substitute teaching, what, 20 years ago? More than that now. 23, 24 years ago. And you'd go through metal detectors. Is that what it's going to take, whether it's in Washington State, Oregon, or Idaho, that you bring that here? Even if the metal detector goes off, there's ways around smuggling guns in. But there is a great story of inspiration. There is something of redemption here. And first, we're going to go to the local scene. And this is from our affiliate, Cairo, in Seattle. Well, they're not really our affiliate, but it sounds good on an early Monday morning when it's chilly. And it's the story of a heroic teacher who, instead of running, which I got to tell you, Kevin Miller would be running for the door quicker than the all-you-can-eat buffet at the Golden Corral, ran to the violence, ran to the gunman. And CNN does a pretty good job of this, but I want to check the local story out here. Let's set the table of what happened Friday here at 580 KIDO.
Right there, Megan Silverberger. We are hearing she's a first-year teacher at the school, and that when she heard shots, she ran toward them, not away from them, and somehow got in the way of that gunman. She was not shot, we're told, but she certainly tried to help out all of the students who were.
And Joanna has been able to help us piece that together, and so has Natasha Chen. She spoke to a student who saw this happen. So the student didn't recognize Megan Silverberger because she's a new teacher at the school. So he wasn't sure what her role was at the school, but he says she rushed in and approached the gunman. It appeared to him that the gunman was either trying to reload or fidgeting with his gun when she grabbed his arms. He says that the gunman raised his gun to shoot Megan Silverberger. She was able to grab the gun and somehow the gun went off, and the suspect, Jalen Freiberg, was killed. So whether it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound, whether she actually pointed the gun back at himself, either way, she is the hero in this story, and we're going to continue to learn more about her and bring you more information. Certainly.
Okay, how old is Megan Silverberger? 24 years old. 24 years old, first-year teacher. Now, we talk about teachers all the time here. We cover teachers extensively here. Teachers are a big issue now in the gubernatorial election. But here you have, I mean, how many of us that, whether we were in the military or not, at 24, you're involved in something that you have nothing to, no frame of reference about, and you storm the gunman and you take him down, or at least stop him from hurting others. 24-year-old young lady. She's a hero. Now, we build on from this at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. In light of what happened, is it time to take a look at more school security?
We have a choice. A tragedy like this can tear us apart or make us closer and stronger than ever.
There you have it. Becky Berg, the superintendent at Marysville High School in Washington, bringing people together. Bringing people together, is that possible?
Feels like you got knocked out and our legs are still wobbling.
Again, you pardon the distortion on that, but that was Tony Hatch, cousin of the shooting victim. And at 580-5436, is it reasonable today? Now, again, we live in Idaho. Of course, we still have our issues. We've got the front page of the paper warning about the drugs coming in and the gangsters and everything else. But thanks to the men and women of law enforcement, we've kept them at bay. But is it time to rethink school security? Is it time to go that extra distance? As we've talked about in the past, whether it's having someone as a protector, having someone with some type of access to a means of protecting the kids? Is that too controversial? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. More on that in a minute. And also we'll talk about the woman who's quarantined, and she's mad. We go to Linda in Emmett at 580-KIDO with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
You know, when you call this early, it reminds me of the times when we first started this program. Oh, so many years ago. You used to call me in the 5 o'clock hour, I believe.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you get older, you sleep later. But what I'm there's two things. One, the school, this is my own opinion. If people would stop buying these violent DVDs for their kids to play hours on end, I think it would change what our kids think is normal. A lot of kids think packing a gun, and if you don't like somebody shooting them, well, it's okay in the game. Why not in real life? And whether having, you know, somebody standing at the door with a wand checking everybody, or there's got to be a solution someplace, and at this moment, I don't have it. But I hope somebody comes up with it, because this is a tragedy.
Well, that's what I'm wondering about. Is it time to take a look at arming teachers? Is it time to take a look at some type of metal detectors in schools here in Idaho?
I think it's time for metal detectors. I really do. And my other comment was going to be about the young lady who's protesting her quarantine, being quarantined for 21 days.
She's mad. She's mad.
Yeah, she's mad. I don't get it. I don't want to die of Ebola.
I don't want to die of Ebola either. Keep that Ebola away from me.
You and me both. But, you know, years ago, when the first immigrants really started coming over here and we had Ellis Island, they would quarantine people on Ellis Island to make sure they didn't have things like TB.
That's what they did to Don Corleone in The Godfather.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're exactly right. And I don't see why anybody has got the right to complain about being quarantined for 21 days or 41 days or whatever they decide, you know, the safe limit is. I'd rather have somebody quarantined than sit next to him on a bus and have him sneeze all over me and be dead in 2 weeks.
Or sneeze at your church. Keep your germs at home, people.
Exactly. But it's like the whole world's going crazy, and there's so much going on all at once, and it's, you know, you pick one, and then you pick the wrong one, and then you pick another one, and somebody says, no, that's not right either, and, you know, you can't do this, and you can't do that. This America, they forget America, it was founded on what we can do.
So you're saying
what we can't.
You're saying metal detectors, no guns in schools.
Exactly.
All right. Linda, you have a good day. Thanks for warming us up here, honey.
Okay, dear. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Our great friend Linda from Emmett, 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. More on this shooting in Washington. Metal detectors or arming teachers? You have this young 24-year-old teacher, and by the way, Bobby mailing us, Kevin, I can tell you from my military experience in Vietnam that you never know what you are going to do until an event happens. You can have a feeling of what you would do, but until it happens, you find out then. His response to what would happen in a school, what would happen to you, and whether or not, it's time to arm teachers. You have this unarmed teacher taking on this person. Yes, everybody wants to be Chuck Norris. I wanted to be Chuck Norris, but my brief experience in the military taught me that I will always be Peter Sellers. Gene in CUNA at 580-KIDO with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Gene. Hello, Gene. Operator error on my part. 619, time for traffic. Good idea.
Gia Soriano, age 14, passed away as a result of her injuries suffered on Friday.
Samantha Stockman is 5'3 and about 125 pounds.
There's a lot of prayers going out for you right now.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The cover of Time Magazine, How to Fix America's Schools. Kevin Miller in the morning here, talking about school security and the Ebola quarantine. We'll talk a little bit more about that. First, let's go to the phones. Gene and Cuna. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, my friend. You know, Kevin, the brief time we spent over the Chick-fil-A, I really enjoyed that. I can't wait to the time when you have another one of those little sideline deals and so I can join you again. That was really great. I loved it.
Well, we loved having you out there. Wish you could have had some more time, but we understand.
Well, yeah, no, next time, I've already told my family, and I've told my dogs, too. I said, look, next time Kevin Miller's having one of these things, Dad's going to be a half hour late, so don't get mad at me.
That's
it's just going to be the way it is. Kevin, I got a couple of things that it's going to be very unpopular with the public, but in schools, you know, it doesn't take anything to set up these metal detectors. And if schools had some type of security arm, perhaps, I mean, you don't have to actually arm anybody. There are multitudes of self-defense courses out there where people can take. And If they had guards at these school entrances with the metal detectors, and they catch a young Buster Brown bringing a Glock or a 45 into class and just sitting down the chair, call his parents, say, hey, you better come get your child. He brought a 45 to school. And I'll guarantee you, things of, you know, parents start coming and picking their kids up instead of law enforcement, I'll guarantee you things would clear up pretty quick, because I got a sneaking hunch that mom and dad would get really, really upset about having to take time off of work. And of course, there are trigger locks for guns. There are safes all over the place. There's ways to lock your firearms up and keep your kids away from them. There's just, when you have a gun, it's not just the fact you have a gun. You have a full-time responsibility to make sure that firearm is safe and secure. And a lot of people think, well, I got a gun, you know, and that's where it ends. That isn't at all where it ends, Kevin. You and I both know that. It's a full-time responsibility. And the other thing about this young lady that's being quarantined for Ebola, okay, I understand the quarantine. Believe me, I understand it better than a lot of people. But for heaven's sake, keep the gal some, you know, some dignity. You know, give, at least let her have a place where she can have a shower and at least a decent toilet and, you know, and a bed. I mean, it's those are just the basic necessities. Quarantine? Oh, yeah. 45, 54 days? Oh, absolutely. But at least give her some dignity into the fact that she can take a shower. And then when her clothes come off, and she puts on new scrubs or whatever she has to put on, then they go and burn the clothes, okay? There's ways around that. But my heavens, don't treat her like some kind of dog. She's a human being, for heaven's sakes. And even though she's been exposed to this, even though she's tested negative, you know, like this gentleman, this doctor, he experienced no symptom whatsoever, then all of a sudden, here it comes. So, yeah, quarantine, absolutely. But give her some kind of dignity, for heaven's sakes.
All right, Gene.
All right, man. Thank you, brother. You have a blessed day.
All right, our great friend Gene Acuna. God bless you. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. This is Bill de Blasio on Ebola.
Call 911 or proceed directly to an emergency room.
There we have it. It's interesting when you take a look at what New York is doing as opposed to what is the state of New Jersey that is what is doing.
We are no longer relying on CDC standards. There are now New York, New Jersey standards.
Chris Christie basically saying the quarantines don't work, so if you go somewhere, boom.
We've attempted voluntary quarantine, and it hasn't worked either time. So, you know, you don't have to hit us across the head more than once each, you know, to let us know that there's something else we need to do.
Chris Christie on his campaign for the presidency. We go to Bill in Peru at 580KIDO. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Kevin. Good morning. How are you? Hello to you and all your listeners out there in Boise.
Are you calling from Peru, the country?
Peru, the country. It's not like Moscow, Idaho. It's Peru, the country. Yeah, you got it. It's a few Perus in the United States, but yeah, I live down here now.
How did you find us?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but basically I have a friend who lives up near Ketchum named Patrick Lee, and it turns out Patrick's going to be in town to do a little PowerPoint at the local Boise Library and Hayes, you know, the Hayes Auditorium on Capitol Boulevard of the Public Library at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, and he's going to be talking about Idaho smoke jumpers who participated in a covert war in Laos. And it's kind of an interesting story. It's free and all. You can all attend. But I also wanted to talk.
Oh, my gosh. How did you find – what did that have to do with you listening in Peru and calling in right now?
I happen to be his PR guy. But I will tell you, the shootings that have taken place in America have Peruvians baffled. They just don't understand
how
why.
How in the world can you be a PR guy living in Peru for a guy in Ketchum?
Life is crazy, man.
It is.
When the economy goes down the drain and an American gets widowed and he moves – stuff happens. So I actually am in the acting booker for F. Lee Bailey as well, of all things. He actually wants to speak in Boise. He'd like to start doing some speaking gigs there.
Well, but, you know, if you ever want to have him on, number one. Number two, isn't that scary living in a foreign land there, Bill?
Yeah, it's crazy, but I'm actually calling you on my Skype line.
Okay, go ahead.
But no, this is all true, but bottom line is that the shootings that take place are kind of weird because the Peruvians are controlled totally by the government. Use a gun to defend yourself down here, and you go to jail, man. It's insane. So, they just don't understand the culture whereby, you have a Second Amendment that allows you to defend yourself because the government just basically kind of owns all the rights there. Some people do have guns that they use in self-defense, but it's really complicated. And guys and girls who defend themselves end up going to jail sometimes. It's often the case. It's really crazy. But in any case, I do actually do PR work for, American authors and all. And Patrick Lee is a friend, and he's going to be presenting his book about Idaho smoke jumpers, who fought in the war in Laos. So everybody come on down. This Wednesday, the 29th at 6 p.m. at the Hayes Auditorium of the Boise Public Library.
You better not be calling us from Nampa, Bill.
No, I am not calling you from Nampa. I haven't even been to Idaho. I'd love to go to Idaho. It's a beautiful state.
What city in Peru are you in?
Lima. I live in a place called San Miguel, which is like a district of Lima. And, I've been down here for about 5 years with my kids, my family. Basically what happened was my wife passed away and I ended up remarrying a Peruvian, and I worked in PR in the States. And so, a guy named Charlie Brandt, who lives nearby, who wrote the book about Jimmy Hoffa, and the guy who killed him, he put me in touch with Patrick, and that's basically what happened. He and I kind of became friends,
Well, do me a favor. Send me an email, would you?
Yeah, can I ask you? Maybe your call screener can give me your email address, Kevin. I know this call is a little crazy, but folks, come on down. I definitely would like to get F. Lee Bailey on your show, Kevin. He would be delighted to talk, and I think it would make for really interesting radio.
Well, look, you'll be our new friend here, Bill. Hang on, we'll take care of you.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Bill in Peru. See, the show goes international thanks to you. You're listening to 580KIDO.
Don Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Jared Halpern joining us from Fox News Radio. Jared, good morning.
Good morning.
So, what's it going to be? Republicans, Democrats? Does anybody know what's going to happen a week from tomorrow?
I think it's going to be possible that we don't know a week from tomorrow. Two of these races that are still awfully close have a runoff, including Georgia, where if no candidate gets 50%, they have the runoff election. That runoff election in Georgia would not be until January 6th. January 6th, so in the next year. And you look at Louisiana as well, another state that has that runoff system. If no candidate gets above 50%, that also seems to me destined to have a runoff only because of the number of candidates that are still in this race. You have not one but two Republicans. You have a few other folks on the ballot. Obviously, the incumbent Democrat Mary Landrieu. If none of them get 50%, that goes to a runoff. That would be December 6th. So I think it's a possibility that, depending on some of how these other races lean one way or the other, that we may not know who's going to have control of the Senate come next week.
Jaron, how fixated are you, and you cover this nationally, on the state of Kentucky? That seems to ebb and flow with every day.
Well, I'll be there, if that gives you any indication. That's where I'll be spending my election week. I head out there this weekend. And I've been out there a couple of times because it's such a fascinating race. For a few reasons. Obviously, you have the big picture. Is Mitch McConnell going to become the majority leader? Certainly, that's going to depend on all the other races going on around the country. But beyond that, he's been in a really difficult reelection bid here, way closer than you would expect for most leaders against Allison Grimes, who has probably been, you know, trailing in most of this election, but certainly not by big digits. And you wonder how some of these undecideds are eventually going to break. I think that's another race that, come election night, could be into the wee hours of the early morning, maybe, before we know who's won that race. Now, it's entirely possible that all of the undecideds break the other way as well, and it's over quickly. But usually when you have somebody like a minority or majority leader, their reelection bids for most of the time are not really that closely watched. Now, obviously, this year has been an exception, hasn't it? Look at what happened to Eric Cantor, who wasn't even able to survive a primary back home in Virginia. So I think it sort of speaks to this nature, and it's certainly helping Republicans in the big picture of this sort of anti-incumbency, we need to change and throw all the bums out sort of mentality. But you can see how it works the other way, too, and I think that's a big issue in the Kentucky race. And in Grimes, the Democrat challenger, has made a big deal about Mitch McConnell being in the Senate 30 years and being out of touch and doing this and doing that, and a Washington insider. And McConnell really having to lean on that experience, putting out a lot of commercials that say, listen, there's been, since President Obama has been president, there's been like four major bipartisan deals, and Mitch McConnell has his fingerprint on all of them. Something that he doesn't say a whole lot here in Washington, but when he's back home in Kentucky, is really campaigning on the idea that he is a leader who can cross party lines to get major things done.
580 KIDO, Jared Halpern with us, Fox News Radio. Kevin Miller in the morning. You know, it's interesting, though, McConnell not very popular, and everybody knows he's not popular, but they're trying to get through that. You've got Allison Grimes saying she was going to respect the integrity of the ballot box.
And not say whether or not she voted for President Obama.
Right. It's kind of crazy. You know, it's an interesting, back to Kentucky, and again, we're in Idaho, but not Kentucky. Kentucky seems to be the most fascinating race. And then you have Harry Reid coming into issue in Kentucky, where Mitch McConnell says, hey, you want to keep Harry Reid and the impasse going, elect Allison Grimes.
You're right, because that's one of the races that potentially, if Republicans were to lose and Democrats got a pickup, you do the math, it's much more difficult then for Republicans to take control of the Senate. And that's really what you've seen Republicans do, is try and link every single race to another vote for President Obama, another vote for Harry Reid, and trying to tap into that unpopularity. And it's put some Democrats, and you can look at Kentucky, you can look at Georgia with Michelle Nunn, you can look at North Carolina with Kay Hagan, of really trying to have the find ways to separate themselves then from national Democrats. You know, you look at states like Kentucky, this is a state that is conservative in sort of the national model of what conservatism is, certainly not a state that President Obama was remotely competitive in, but at the same time, a strong Democratic governor and Governor Steve Beshear, the very first state to adopt Common Core standards, their health care exchange, their website, Kentucky Connect, is really a model for how it should work in every state, and extremely so popular, by the way, that even in the debate between Mitch McConnell and Allison Grimes, McConnell was asked, listen, if you get rid of the health care law from the root, as you say you want to do, what should Kentucky do? And he's like, well, you know, if people like the Kentucky website, we can keep it. Well, that's not accurate. You can't, because it's paid for through, you know, federal dollars. And so that's really been a sticky issue as well is you have some issues in Kentucky that, yes, I think socially and, you know, from sort of the big picture standpoint, sure, it's a conservative state. But Democrats at a statewide level do very well there. And remember that while President Obama is very unpopular, Congress's approval rating somewhere between 7 and 9%.
Jared Halpern, you're a wily veteran, though. You know, I was watching the New Hampshire Senate debate because I had nothing to do this weekend, and I love it when they go to Senator Shaheen. Well, do you want the president in? Well, he's busy fighting
a
bull.
He's busy, isn't he? he's got some time this week. The president actually is on the campaign trail most of this week. Do you know who he's campaigning for?
Oh, I have an idea, yes.
Gubernatorial candidate.
Yeah.
Staying away. The only Senate candidate so far that he is going to campaign for is Congressman Peters in Michigan, who by most polls is up by 11 points.
Jared, quickly, anything else to look out for? We don't want to hog your time, but
look for that New Hampshire race, because that's a race that I thought just a couple of weeks ago was not going to be real competitive. Obviously, Scott Brown, a fairly popular guy in that area, but I mean, he's, you know, not really from New Hampshire, was a senator for a short time from Massachusetts. I thought that that was the type of race that if Jeanne Shaheen found herself in trouble, you're looking at Republicans sort of maybe running the table. It would be that sort of wave election. And now all of a sudden it looks like Senator Shaheen may be in a bit of trouble. So I think the fact that that race is competitive really speaks to the sentiment of the electorate going into the election. You have these races now that maybe a few weeks ago weren't seen as all that competitive, and now we're moving more that direction. I think the other big race to look for, Kansas. Can you imagine Pat Roberts loses that race and an independent who probably ends up caucusing with the Democrats wins it? That would be a huge loss for the Republican math and their efforts to retake the Senate.
Jared, enjoy Kentucky.
I always find a new bourbon to try, and it's always a nice place to visit.
See, that's life on the trail for you.
Well, you gotta do something.
See, Jared, we appreciate it. Take care, brother.
Sure thing.
All right, our friend Jared Halpern joining us from Fox News Radio 649. How competitive are the races here? We'll discuss next. Time for traffic.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Keep it here as we roll along. Coming up, Dave Pezzo will give us news about your money coming up at 7:05. Don't forget the Tway Travel Getaway. We'll have the Destination City at 7:20 this morning. And, of course, your chance to enter again by joining our loyalty program. 6:55, currently it is 37 degrees in Nampa. Getting back to, you know, how competitive is this state? We're a week and a day away from Election Day, and we go to the old 580kido.com. Who has your vote for governor? Right now, we still have Mr. Bujak out in front with 63% of the vote. We have Mr. Otter, Governor Otter, with, 19% of the vote. Mr. Belukov at 14%. Pro-life at almost 3%. And Steve Pankey, no Steve Pankey. He hasn't shown up. Now, it's interesting that Steve Pankey got into the election. Did we ever get a phone? Did Pankey ever call us back, Ray Amaya? No Pankey. We're still waiting for Mr. Pankey to get a hold of us. And it is tough to believe, by the way, it is tough to believe if you are a serious gubernatorial candidate that, in fact, you can't return a phone call from the press, because we take ourselves seriously as a media outlet here. We'd love to have Mr. Pankey on. In fact, we're having our friend, the Prince of Progressivism, Richard Stallings, will join us coming up next, or in the 8 o'clock hour. He's a little firebrand. We'll be excited to see him. Is he coming in the broadcast center, or is he on the phone? He's in the broadcast center. Now, remember, the last time that Mr. Stallings was on, he overslept. And he was very upset with himself for oversleeping. Now, we probably won't have anything in common with Mr. Stallings, but first of all, he seems like an honest guy. And quite frankly, you got to admire him for running for office when he could be chilling out doing absolutely nothing. So I think it'll be very entertaining with Richard Stallings. I mean, that's our goal. So Dave Pezzo, Richard Stallings, and we'll have more reports with our Fox reporters coming up here at the top of the hour. Big topic of the day. By the way, is this issue involving school violence and how to prevent it? Is it time to take a look at spending more money on schools? We seem to be, that seems to be the endless question, whether it's the gubernatorial race, whether it's levies or what have you. Is it time to take some preventative measures? We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. And by the way, Tea Party Bob is questioning Peru Bill, saying quite frankly that there's no, what is this here? If that guy was calling from Peru, why wasn't there a time delay when he was talking on the phone? Kevin, he's too far away not to have a delay in a phone conversation. Well, he said he was calling us via Skype. So he is actually questioning, Tea Party Bob is, whether Bill is really from Purdue or Peru or chicken. 658, 36 degrees, if you caught that reference. You're better than I am. In Caldwell at 580KIDO. Let's get you to traffic. Oh, and here's an email from Peru Bill wanting us to book all his authors. Well, hey, we need some content somewhere, right? Coming up, a rocky week in the markets. We'll break it down with Dave Petzo. By the way, Dave, I hope you're listening. Your coffee's here, so we won't have any coffee controversy this morning. By the way, 36 right now in Mountain Home. Kevin Miller with you. Think about that school safety issue as you're passing school buses this morning and you're taking the kids to work and school. Certainly an issue we can't ignore, right? More coming up. Fox News is next on your home on Fox News on the Radio. For Fox News on the Radio, 580 KIDO. Good morning.